Habakkuk 3, verses 16 through 18. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. And that's as far as I'll read from God's word this morning. People of God, it's almost New Year's, and I always like the season of New Year's. It's a time when you reflect on the past, and I think over the past year, and God's various blessings in the past year, time of thanking Him. It's a time, too, to think about wondering what the new year will bring. Will it bring this? Will it bring that? And often it's a time when you stop and think, is my life going the way I want it to go? Now, there's some things you don't have much power over. But there's things that you say, you know, I could do this different. That's where New Year's resolutions come in. But it's good for people to do that, to stop and think about the passing of time, about their life, where it's going, what they're doing, what they want to do, what God is calling them to do. It's good to do that. And sometimes when you look to the new year, some people say, oh, you know, I don't know what it's going to bring. They're kind of pessimistic. And other people, man, they're sure this new year, it's just going to be great. We all fall somewhere on this continuum between pessimism and optimism. And there are days when, probably you, I know, I feel more pessimistic and days when I feel more optimistic. You know, there's some people who they're just naturally pessimists when it comes to the future. There's always storm clouds on the horizon. The glass is always half empty rather than half full. And they have reasons to be. I mean, they might look at our nation and say, man, this is happening in our nation, in our society, these developments in our culture must be the end times. I don't know, it doesn't look good. They're sure that just around the corner is some health issue. I think we're going to have a long, cold winter. Wouldn't be surprised, but anyway. They're always sure that the negative is about to happen. Maybe a tragedy, global warming, whatever. Sure that what is about to happen is not going to be good. And then there are people who are naturally optimists. You know, every cloud is a silver lining. There's always next year, and oh, we're eating and we're doing fine, and One of these days, the sun will come and melt all the snow. Don't worry, things will work out. They always do. Tomorrow will be better. Things are looking up already. You know, we live in the greatest country in the world. Everything is positive. Now I ask, which has more support from Scripture? Pessimism or optimism? Because there are Christians who fall on both sides of the camp, but both sides of the fence. There are Christians who take the Bible and they look at the things that are happening in this world and they see the sin, total depravity of man, and see the hand of God's judgment about to fall on this wicked generation. And there are Christians on the other side who say, you know what? The gospel is going forth and you see the church in China, it's growing, and in India, and God made me and He doesn't make junk. Good things are happening in the church and in missions. So where does the Bible fall on such a line? Is it a book of pessimism or optimism? I'd have to say it's some of both. It's realism. And if you look in the scripture, you'll find both. You read the prophets long enough, you know what I mean. You know, here's the prophet Habakkuk, and the prophets, they'll have doom and gloom, and this is about to happen. And then they have a passage of restoration. It's always both there. That same pair is often found in scripture. And if we're going to be true to scripture, we need to reflect both of those things. Both a realization of sin and its consequences and judgment and that kind of stuff. And also of God's restoration and of hope and of optimism as well. Sin is present in our world and in the church, and there are developments in the world and in the church that we shouldn't be happy about, that are not positive. But we can't pretend that also that everything's just going to be better. We each could face troubles and trials this coming year. We could be in for a long, hard winter. We could face death in our family or sickness or illness. Our society could go down the pot. What will this new year bring? I'm sure it will bring some tragedies. Every year does. Every year since the beginning of time has. It will bring some joys and some good things. To say that everything will be fine, that tomorrow will be better, is just not true. There will be tough things in the future. Tomorrow may well bring sadness and loss, may bring increased distance from God for us or for our loved ones. We do not know. But to be a pessimist is also not honest nor scriptural. In Christ, we are new creations. Sometimes by the power of the Spirit, we do resist temptation. We do defeat sin. Judgment does come, but restoration comes too. There are good things happening in the world. This new year will probably bring good things. I'll probably get a new grandchild soon. Goodness. The church is growing in China and India and lots of the developing world. It will bring new joys and new developments. But having said that, it's not a perfect balance between pessimism and optimism. With God in the picture, it's tipped to the optimist side in at least three senses. First of all, in terms of world history. Are bad things happening in the world? Oh, yeah. We look at our present day, we might get discouraged and we might say, oh man, look at this happening in our country, look at this happening in the Middle East. We might get discouraged by the tolerance of immorality, the outlawing of Christianity in the public square, the removal of standards for truth, the spread of war and violence, the persecution of Christians. But then we're encouraged when we see the church growing in some parts of the world, much of the world. But what I have in mind is a longer historical picture. History is not cyclical, but it's moving to a point. Moving to a point as the church grows from this scared bunch of disciples in the upper room to a body over the whole world. Millions from every tribe and language and nation. In the big picture, the church grows. And Jesus will come again, and he will restore all things. He will come again in power and defeat his enemies and reclaim this world. In the big picture, good ultimately triumphs over evil. You know, the book of Revelation, you read that, and oh yeah, there's all kinds of judgments and things like that. But at the end, all through it, the Lamb is on the throne. And at the end, all things are made right. A time will come when the Lamb defeats his enemies, when the earth will be renewed and filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea, when we'll live in the new Jerusalem and see Christ, see God face to face. So in terms of history, you might be a pessimist in the short run, but in terms of world history, we are moving toward a glorious future. And that's not only true in terms of world history, that's also true in terms of our own individual histories. We are also each moving toward a glorious future. The ultimate destiny of the world is the reign of Christ, but it's also our own personal destiny, moving toward heaven and eternal life with God. Now, that's true. I should make a qualification. That's true as long as you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're not, the future is not rosy. But if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're right with Him, and you need to make sure you are, if you are right with God, your future is glorious. Your personal destiny is optimistic. We'll face sorrows here. Each of us goes through our own sorrows. Trials, health issues, we'll each face death unless Christ comes again soon. We'll face injury, trials, but on the other side of death, glory awaits us. No matter what happens here, our future is glorious. So that's the second sense. World history, our own personal history, but even in our day-to-day lives, the balance is tipped to optimism as well. Because even though hard times come, and they will come, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Go through tough times. I do, you do. And in those tough times, you don't know what you're going to do. But God is still there. God is still walking with us through those. No trial, no persecution, no loss, no health issues, nothing can separate us from the love of God. He is always there and He will always be there. He is the one unchangeable thing from year to year. He is the one blessing that never fails. And God can even bring blessing out of the trials we face. He uses those trials to shape us to the likeness of Christ, to make us new people, to trust in Him, to want to be with Him, to seek His face. I know those trials are hard, but nothing can separate us from God's love and from His hand at work in our lives. Which means that at base, the Christian is an optimist, but not for the same reason others are. Tomorrow might not be better. Tomorrow, all kinds of nasty things might happen. We may face death. We may face loss, injury, whatever. We can't say, there's a song that says, I don't borrow from its sunshine since its skies may turn to gray. When we look at the new year, it may bring joy, may bring sadness, probably both, but God will walk with us through it. And He will carry us and lead us and even bring good through tough times. The sort of optimism that simply says, oh, tomorrow will be better, keep your chin up. It's kind of an empty optimism. But the optimism that says, God is there. He is real. I will trust in Him and His unfailing promises. I know He will walk with me, whatever the future holds. That's the kind of optimism that will carry us through, that will not fail. The prophet Habakkuk, he knew about that. He prophesied probably during the reign of King Josiah. Josiah was a good king, but this was Israel's last day, Judah's last day, actually. They were about to face devastation. Josiah's father Manasseh had been a wicked king, evil, brought all kinds of idolatry and that sort of thing in. Israel followed him. Josiah brought some reforms, but Israel was still kind of stuck in that idolatry and that wickedness. And so God had promised that He was going to send judgment, serious judgment. They were going to be overrun. Habakkuk says, God, how can you do this? This other nation is worse than Israel. God says, yeah, they are. That's fine. They'll get their due, but I'm punishing Judah too. Through Habakkuk, God told Judah that she was about to be viciously overrun by the Babylonians as punishment for her sins. And so, as we read here, he says, I heard, my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound, decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Sometimes we might have that feeling about the future. Yet, especially when you see something bad happening, and you know what's happening, and you know what's, this is not going to be good. Yet, I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. And then he says, though the fig tree does not bud, though there are no grapes in the vine, though the olive crop fails and the field produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. I mean, this is talking about rough times, tough times. So. No food, no sheep, no cattle, no olives, grapes, whatever else. Natasha, okay. We live in America, safety net and all that kind of stuff. They didn't. A nation comes, overruns, takes all your food. You got no food. That's it. You starve. You watch your children starve. You watch your family starve. You get devastated by these people who overrun you. They may take you away as slaves. They may burn your house. This is not good. It's something we've never faced here in America, to be overrun by another nation and to have them totally destroy and do all those things to you. This was what he was facing. And he says, though these things don't happen, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. You read that and you think, how in the world could he rejoice in that situation? I mean, I understand him saying, well, you know, if that happens, I'll stick with God. He doesn't say that. He talks about rejoicing. You're facing war and famine and loss of life. I will rejoice in the Lord. Now, it's important to know. He doesn't say, I will rejoice in the things that are about to come to me. I'm not happy this stuff is happening. But I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord. I know the Lord is there. I know his provision, his faithfulness, his goodness, his justice. In this case, it's his justice, his mercy. And I'm going to rejoice in him and in what he's going to do. Friends, it's in the darkest days, in the roughest years, that we find what we were always taught, that God is there. That he listens, that he carries you, that he revives your heart. We've been through tough times, each of us. Times of discouragement, so forth. I know I've been through tough times. Times when I didn't always feel like God was there. But I knew he was there. And in the darkest days, what we do. We don't just stick with God. We rejoice in God, in his preservation of us, that we fear not those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. It's in those times that we can be joyful in God, my Savior. It's a recognition that even when everything in the world seems to be going wrong, God is still our Savior, and he's still our hope and our solution. I don't know what the future is going to hold. I don't know what this new year will bring. I don't know what it will bring for me. I don't know what it will bring for you. What sadnesses, what joys. But God is my hope. God is your hope. God is your strength. Habakkuk goes on to say, the sovereign Lord is my strength. That's where we find our strength. It's not, you know what? Tough times come, but tough people, tough times don't last, but tough people do. Yeah. No. The sovereign Lord is my strength. It's not that tough people last. It's the sovereign Lord is my strength. Our strength to get through rough times is not found just by gritting our teeth and saying that tomorrow will be better, but it's in the Lord. Habakkuk says that. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. You've all seen deer. I know living in this country, you've seen them. cross the road in front of you. Maybe even hit them. They're sure-footed. They can switch directions and they zig and zag. And if you've seen the pictures, it talks about here on the heights. Maybe you've seen them even in the mountains. That's what we are when God is our strength. We're sure-footed. Might not know what the future holds. Might not know where we're going. Might not know what he's doing. But the sovereign Lord is my strength. He's going to make my feet like the feet of a deer. Enable me to go on the heights. My friends, that's what God does for us. I don't know what the new year will bring for you. I don't know what the future will bring for you. But no matter what happens, we can turn our face boldly to the future. We know world history. God's in control of it, and it's moving to his destiny. We know our own personal history. Heaven, eternal life with him. We know in our day-to-day lives, he walks with us. And so, even if the fig tree doesn't provide, if there's no job, if there's health issues, if there's family issues, if there's whatever else we face, yet, I will rejoice in God my Savior. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. That's our hope. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you. We thank you that whatever the new year brings, that it brings you, that you walk with us through that new year, through the future each day. Lord, help us to look to the future boldly. Not because we have the strength, not because tomorrow is going to be so wonderful, but because you're our strength, because you walk with us. And help us to not just walk with you, but to even be joyful in you, to rejoice in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.